And you, Jerusalem and Zion, shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. This is what we're basing it on. God has proclaimed it thousands of years ago. Now it's the time. It is the ministry of Samuel the prophet being revealed in the end times. That ministry through Samuel prepared the way for David the king. And we are going to prepare the way for the Messiah, the son of David, to come to Jerusalem because of a mighty move of God from the ends of the earth, from the north. We are crying out to him, give us the end of the earth as an inheritance for the king. And we are crying out to God to thrust out, to cast out, to drive out laborers into his harvest field. Because it is white unto harvest, and there are so many hurting people. Dear intercessors, the subject this week is the great calling of prayer. I will begin with a quote that a quite famous theologian in the United States said several years ago. History belongs to the intercessors, or history lies in the hand of those who pray. Just think about that. Whatever happens is depending on those who pray. To pray, or prayer, is really to labor together with Almighty God to implement his will on this earth. Let me say that again. Prayer is to work together with God to implement his will on earth. I cannot imagine any greater calling than that. Now, there are many things that we are called to do and that we can do for God, but the most important and foundational of all is to pray. We can do many things after we have prayed, but not before we have prayed. Prayer is what lays the foundation for everything that God is doing in the earth. I think it was J. Edwin Orr who said, "History is silent about revivals that did not begin with prayer." So in this prayer movement, Nordic 714, we have a vision to raise up 10,000 prayer warriors for revival in the Nordic countries. And this morning, actually, when we were praying here on our base in Israel, God gave my wife in a vision, she saw the British Isles, and that is also part of the calling of the Nordic countries that God has destined to bring revival to Europe back to Jerusalem. So, and it also lines up with what God showed me when he called me to prayer in 1977. In October of 1977, I saw a revival coming to the Nordic countries, but also to Great Britain, that would sweep in over Europe and then culminate in Jerusalem. So we are going to begin to pray more fervently also for the British Isles in this prayer movement. And of course, like I usually say in this English version of my weekly message, if you listen to this from any other end of the earth, maybe in the south, in New Zealand or South Africa, or in the west, in the United States, or in the east, in the far east, wherever you are, the same calling is from all the ends of the earth. But God has specifically laid on my heart the burden for revival in the Nordic countries from the north, to see a mighty move of God that will culminate in Jerusalem. I also want to quote here in the beginning from the second Psalm, what it says in verse 8, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. Here we see again what is mentioned several times in Scripture about the ends of the earth. There's something that God is going to do from the ends of the earth in the end times that is going to bring revival and salvation back to Jerusalem where it all began. And so this is what we're crying out for in this prayer movement, Nordic 714. We're crying out that God will give us the ends of the earth as a possession of the Messiah to lay hold of, a mighty work of God. Now, the situation in the Nordic countries, and including, I would say, the British Isles, Great Britain, is quite desperate today. We're seeing such apostasy. We're seeing such blatant sin being invading the church. And I want us to begin to look at the calling and the ministry of the prophet Samuel, because it gives us a pattern for what we are praying for and what God is going to do in the end times. It's interesting to read, as an introduction to this, from Acts chapter 13, when Paul is preaching at the synagogue in Antioch, in Pisidia. It says that God gave Israel prophets, or rather, he gave them judges up till the time of Samuel the prophet. It says here in Acts 13, verse 20, all this took about 450 years, and after that he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. In other words, with Samuel the prophet began a completely new phase in the history of Israel. And so, and that, of course, that ministry that Samuel had as a prophet was what God used to prepare the way for the king to come on the throne, for King David to be anointed, a picture of the Messiah. And that is exactly what is going to happen in the end times. God is going to raise up this mighty prophetic movement that is going to culminate in the coming of the Messiah to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem to rule the nations. We're going to begin to read here now from 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I begin in verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. So this is a description of the spiritual condition among God's people when Samuel began his ministry. The word of the Lord was rare. And I would say this is also the situation today in most churches. Now, there's a lot of preaching, but there's a difference between sermons that are delivered by men and the word of the Lord given to through faithful servants straight from the throne of God, that is what God is saying, not what man is saying, but that God's voice will be heard. The word of the Lord is rare also in our days. And it says that there was no frequent vision. The church also today is lacking prophetic understanding of the times. There is such blindness. There is such a terrible condition among God's people. The sheep are lacking nourishment. At best, they find very, very malnourished sermons in the pulpits when they go to church. And many times, the spiritual food is even poisoned by so much heresy. It is a terrible condition in most places today. But God is going to raise up a mighty work in the end times. There is going to be this ministry that we see Samuel the prophet had to prepare the way for the king. That is what we are praying for in this prayer movement, Nordic 714, and what we are to pray all over the world, that God is going to raise up this mighty prophetic ministry that will deliver the word of God to God's people. We read in the end of the chapter here in 1 Samuel 3, from verse 19, the ministry that eventually developed through Samuel the prophet. It says, and Samuel grew, verse 19, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. This is what we want to see happen. And in order for this mighty ministry of the word of God that is going to shake the nations in the end times, we have to first see established what is described in the first verse, where it says here that the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord. This is a picture of the ministry of prayer that is the prerequisite, you can say, or the foundation to the prophetic ministry that God is going to raise up. We first must see the ministry of prayer being established among God's people in order for this mighty move of God that we're praying for come to pass. And when we read here on in the text in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says that in verse 3, the lamp of God, I want to read verse 2 as well. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim. This is a picture of the established ministry among God's people represented by Eli. His eyesight was, he was losing his eyesight. He had no prophetic understanding. He had not any revelation from God by the Holy Spirit, just as we see today among God's people. His eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, and he was lying down in his own place. And then it says in verse 3, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Hallelujah. Thank God. The lamp of God speaks about the revelation of God. And thank God there is still a remnant in the earth. There is still a remnant of those who are faithful to God. And it is this remnant that we're called to raise up, and that is going to grow to become a mighty army for the Lord. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And remember now, he was faithfully ministering before the Lord in the temple. So it's talking about this faithful ministry of prayer that and how the lamp of God has not died out completely. And verse 4, then the Lord called to Samuel, and he said, here I am. And ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. The high priest Eli here, he had no idea what was going on, that it was the Lord calling on Samuel. So he just said, just go to bed. And this happened three times. Finally, the high priest understood that God was speaking to Samuel. So he told them, if you hear this voice again, then just tell him that here is I am your servant, and please speak to your servant. It says, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears or is listening. And then the Lord begins to give him a very, very serious message. He says, then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In other words, it is going to be something that nobody is going to be able to escape. Everyone is going to be called to attention. And we know later on in the story here, it's because the temple at Shiloh was destroyed. The Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the enemy. It seemed like everything was lost, but everything was not lost because there was one faithful servant who became the instrument to begin something completely new. And the first challenge for Samuel, the first test that he had to go through, was to deliver this serious message to the high priest. Let's read on here in the text about this message. Verse 12. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering forever. In the previous chapter, chapter 2, it describes how Eli's sons were such wicked people, and they were misusing the sacrifices to benefit for themselves, and most of all also that they committed fornication, sexual immorality with the women in the tabernacle. And this was something that God would not accept. And therefore, a man of God, it says, came to Eli and rebuked him because of what his sons were doing. And now this is what God is telling also Samuel, just as a little boy, ministering before the Lord under Eli the high priest. And it says that Samuel, verse 15, lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Of course, that was a terrifying thing to have to tell this old man, I'm going to judge you for what you are allowing in the house of God without stopping it. And that is exactly what is happening today, especially in Scandinavia, but all over the world, that the established churches are now beginning to accept sexual immorality in the church. People are living together without being married, and even worse, they are allowing homosexual behavior to be welcomed in the church. God is not going to allow this much longer. He is going to put an end to it, just like he put an end to the entire worship at Shiloh that was burnt to the ground by the enemy. God is going to judge the house that is accepting sexual immorality among in the church. And in fact, the prophet Jeremiah, he also warned the people in his day for what was going to happen to the temple in Jerusalem by saying, look what I did to the temple in Shiloh, and I'm going to do the same again if you do not repent. The same is going to happen in the end times. God is going to judge his house, and he is going to clean house, and he's going to raise up a pure, faithful remnant before him. I want to give some quotes here or refer to what men of God has said in the past about what is happening or what is going to happen in the end times. I remember when I listened to Derek Prince in the early 70s, and he spoke about the church and said, in the end times, there is only going to be two churches. There will be the bride and there will be the harlot. The bride is going to be united and filled with God's glory. The harlot is also going to be united, and it's going to end up in judgment and in apostasy. And similarly, in 1973, David Wilkerson wrote in his book, The Vision, he wrote about also two churches that was going to be in the end times. The first one is the backslidden, politically motivated, ecumenical, homosexual-friendly church. When David Wilkerson wrote this in 1973, not many people could even imagine the horrible things that David Wilkerson was describing would come to the church in the end times. But now it has become a reality. But David Wilkerson also saw something else. He saw a vision of the bride. He saw what he called underground, spiritual, Bible-faithful church that is going to be united through the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And this church will receive supernatural power by God to complete the Great Commission. Hallelujah. And that is what we're praying for. We're praying for that church to arise in the end times. And there is going to be a division between these two. They are not going to be together. God is going to separate the tares from the wheat. And I just, it just came to my attention here, a prophetic message that the well-known Anglican minister Colin Urquhart brought forth, in fact, exactly 9 years ago, in May of 2014. He said the following: it is going to be 10 years of confrontation within the church, not just regarding what the church will do in the world, but within the whole church, it will be a time of confrontation. It is going to be like the division of sheep and goats before judgment. It is going to be a division between those who believe and those who resist the reforming move of the Spirit. Now, Colin Urquhart very seldom brought forth prophetic messages about the future, but this was an exception. And we are now living at the very end of this process. It's only 1 year left of what he saw would take place within 10 years in the church. And it's interesting that in 2014, I wrote down a message that said the only hope, and that was for Sweden at that time, my home country, that I was writing this, the only hope now for the church is for God to raise up a praying movement from the grassroots, from the ordinary people, not from the leaders, but from the ordinary grassroots people, that God raises up a powerful movement of prayer among the grassroots. That's the only hope now for the church in Sweden. And of course, in 2018, a little over 5 years ago, I started this prayer movement that I called at that time Sweden 714, which has now grown to become Nordic 714, based on 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. So it has to begin with God's people humbling themselves to pray and to turn from their wicked ways. And so we prayed that year specifically for the elections in Sweden that year in 2018. Now, it didn't happen the way that we had prayed. We saw a partial answer, but not a full answer. And the reason for that is, God showed me afterwards, is because of the backslidden condition of the church. There must first be a change in the church before there can be any change politically in our nations. And so from that time, we began to pray for this repentance and revival within the church. And the first conference that we held in January of 2019, when we that year also expanded into all the Nordic countries, the Lord spoke and said that now my sword is cutting and separating the church. And that division through that sword that is going to divide the church between the sheep and the goats, that has continued now during these 4 years since we started to pray, and it had started already before then, but now it has escalated, and I believe within the next year we're going to see this open separation between those who will fall into sin and apostasy, rejecting the word of God, and accepting all this homosexuality and immorality in the church, and those who want to be faithful and holy before God, and that's the church that God is going to use. Hallelujah. So the ministry of prayer is the foundation for this change that God is going to do. And that's why we have this prayer movement, Nordic 714. And you can go to our website, Norden714.com. And if you want to be part of this prayer movement, you can. There are three conditions. We are asking God for 10,000 prayer warriors for revival in the Nordic countries. And we are now including also the British Isles in this. Three conditions if you want to be part of this praying movement. First, go through my School of Prayer, which you can download for free from our website, Norden714.com. And then secondly, commit yourself to daily prayer before God. Commit yourself to be faithful to a time of prayer on a daily basis before God. And you can decide for yourself how long you will pray, depending on how God grows your ministry of prayer. I recommend that you begin small and then extend your daily time before God as God increases your ministry of prayer. So that's the second thing. Commit to a daily prayer life. And then the third thing is that you include in your prayers this revival in the Nordic countries, including the British Isles. So if you are willing to do those three things, go through my School of Prayer with four lessons, how to develop a powerful personal prayer life, commit to a daily prayer life before God, and then number three, pray for revival in the Nordic countries that will spread through Europe back to Jerusalem. And then number four, that would be the fourth step you need to take, is to register on our homepage, on the website there, to become a part of 10,000 prayer warriors in the Nordic countries. Hallelujah. I want to also go now to Matthew chapter 9 and read how we are to pray for this reformation in the church, similar to what Samuel was used by God to accomplish among God's people. I mean, God forsook the tabernacle in Shiloh and he began to now move back towards Jerusalem to anoint the king that would sit down on the throne of David in Jerusalem. A picture of us now focusing on Zion and the coming of the Messiah to sit down on the throne of David in Jerusalem. I'm going to read the from verse 35 in Matthew chapter 9. And Yeshua, Jesus, went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The role of the shepherd is to feed the sheep. But here the sheep are not being taken care of. They are being harassed and they are helpless, and they are like they had no shepherd at all. And that is the condition today in the church for the most part. Thousands of people will not find any spiritual nourishment to speak of when they go to church to listen to sermons. And at best, they find a nugget here or there, but they are malnourished. They are starving. And in many cases, the food that they get is even poisoned by all kinds of heresies. It is a desperate condition. Now, then, what it says, listen to what it says in verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is huge. It's plentiful," says here. "But the laborers, the true shepherds, are so few. Therefore, pray earnestly." It's a very strong word here in the Greek, to earnestly cry out to God from the depths of your being, to just pray with such fervency to God. "Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, this translation is quite weak, because the word "to send out" here is the same Greek word that is used about driving out demons, casting out devils. And this is what we need to pray, that the Lord of the harvest, Yeshua the Messiah, will drive out, force out laborers into his harvest field. Because so many of them are called, but they are stuck. They are many times in being held back by the fear of man, or by so many things, maybe lack of support, or discouragement, or some have even fallen into sin, whatever. God needs to pick them up, restore them, and then drive them out by his love. It says, Paul says that the love of God forces us, constrains us. The love of God needs to fill these people who have been called to the ministry, and force them out. Many are stuck also in pleasures and in wanting to have material things. They're living for the things in the world. But God is going to call them and drive them out into the ministry to reach the lost, as a result of people crying out to God daily for these laborers to be thrust out into the harvest field. And not just to preach the gospel and you know, this raise your hand if you want to be saved and say a prayer after me. Friends, we are being called to make disciples, training people to obey and teaching them to obey everything that Yeshua commanded. It is discipleship that really counts. And people need to turn from sin, repent from sin, and then cry out to God for salvation until they are truly born again by the Spirit of God. And after that, they need to be fed the Word of God and taught in the scriptures to obey everything that God has commanded us to obey. So this is the huge work that is ahead of us, and it is going to take place through prayer. That is how it all begins, and that's why we have this prayer movement. So I want to end this message now by praying for those of you who are listening, that God is going to call you and appoint you as watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, as intercessors, as prayer warriors, to pray for God's will to come to pass. In fact, before I do that, I want to give some encouraging reports now from what is beginning to happen this year. This is the fifth year since we started this prayer ministry. Five is the number of grace, and I believe that there is coming now a spirit of grace and supplication upon God's people. I went on a tour. In fact, I've been to two tours to the Nordic countries this year already, speaking in all of the Nordic countries, Sweden, Finland, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, and the Faroe Islands, and to encourage prayer. And we had specifically a school of prayer that I taught on the very southern tip in Norway. I came to that area for the first time over 20 years ago, and the first time I came there, I was impressed that this is a place where God is, there is a well of revival that He is going to open up in the area, that is going to touch all of Scandinavia. And I frequently visited the area in the following years and expected it to break out at any time. But it happened this year. I was teaching a school of prayer in a small town in southern Norway called Vigeland. And around 100 people came to that school of prayer, very hungry people, learning about prayer and intercession, and the Holy Spirit came upon us. Now, right after that, a very tiny congregation in the area, with people, about 15, 20 members in the small church, they called a simple young evangelist to come and to preach. And God has sent a revival. This past weekend, they gathered 1,500 people coming to fill the big sports arena in the town, because they have outgrown the church a long time ago. They have continued all the way from February up to now. And people have been saved. People have been miraculously healed. It is a true move of God. We praise God for this. Now, I visited also and taught on prayer in a small Finnish-speaking Pentecostal church in northern Finland. And I heard from the pastor this week, who told me that the spirit of prayer has fallen upon his people, so that the prayer meeting is now the largest meeting every week in his church. He is gathering more people to the weekly prayer meeting than any other meeting. And at least the last prayer meeting he had lasted for 3.5 hours, until he had to encourage the people to go home and get some sleep. So, I mean, talking about the spirit of prayer falling, and they are reaching out to the lost, and they are seeing people coming to faith. It is a truly work of God. So revival has started to break forth this year, but we are expecting so much more. And if we continue, God is going to be sending this revival that we are praying for and that He has spoken of in the scriptures. Isaiah 62, the foundational message that we are speaking continually and that we're repeating when it comes to prayer, Isaiah 62, verse 10 to 12, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. We're receiving this as a calling to us in the Nordic countries, to the end of the earth. And incidentally, we are going to gather now as leaders on the very northern tip, the most northern inhabited place in the entire globe. In August, we're going to proclaim this message to Zion, that it says here, "Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the earth, end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him, and they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord." Hallelujah. There's going to be a holy people, a huge harvest of redeemed souls coming from the ends of the earth, from the northern end of the earth, through all of Europe, back to Jerusalem. "And you, Jerusalem and Zion, shall be called sought out, the city not forsaken." This is what we're basing it on. God has proclaimed it thousands of years ago. Now it's the time. It is the ministry of Samuel the prophet being revealed in the end times. That ministry through Samuel prepared the way for David the king, and we are going to prepare the way for the Messiah, the son of David, to come to Jerusalem because of a mighty move of God from the ends of the earth, from the north. We're crying out to him, give us the end of the earth as an inheritance for the king. Hallelujah. And we are crying out to God to thrust out, to cast out, to drive out laborers into his harvest field, because it is white unto harvest, and there are so many hurting people, and it's not easy to go out into this ministry. That's why there needs such a force of prayer to drive out these laborers into the harvest field. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work that you have begun in answer to prayer through this prayer movement. God, I thank you for the revival in that small community in the southern tip of Norway, for the revival that has broken out. I thank you, Father, for the spirit of supplication and grace and supplication and prayer falling on that small church in northern Finland, and for many who are being called and stirred up to prayer. Father, I pray for everyone who is listening to this message today, that the spirit of prayer will fall upon them, and they will begin to give themselves heartily to earnest, faithful prayer. I pray for this ministry before you to be raised up, pictured here by Samuel ministering before you at the tabernacle in Shiloh, and how you began to reveal yourself through the word of the Lord. Let the word of the Lord be proclaimed in answer to prayer. Father, I pray for the intercessors to be raised up, the prayer warriors that you have called. Make them faithful. Anoint them for this important task. I pray in the name of Yeshua. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And if you want to support us, we greatly appreciate your support for our base here in Israel, through which we are reaching out to the ends of the earth. God bless you.